Welcome to Crew Sunday. I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But if I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest your sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpets of God. And the death in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
We want to welcome everybody today, and we're just going to take a few minutes to say hello and find somebody you don't know or you haven't seen in a while and give them a handshake or a hug this morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. All right, tonight there are small groups at 6 p.m. Please check with your small group leaders and make sure you're still doing that. And there is childcare for you parents that may need that. Saturday, March 10th, in the foyer there's going to be a card ministry. So if you'd like to go to that, it's at 9 a.m. in the foyer. The Beyonders are meeting March 10th at 5 p.m. and age 55 and older, and Twister is required. So please bring that. No, I'm just messing. Sunday, March 11th at 4 p.m., there's a deacons meeting, and I will be there. I have several complaints about this place. Please just keep in mind all the prayer requests that we have on the back of the bulletin. That'd be appreciated. Can you please bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've made for us, Lord. Just thank you for allowing us all to be here on your day, Lord. Just dig into your word and learn more about you, Lord. And Lord, as we take out this offering, just please put it on people's hearts to give on what they're supposed to give and use their money wisely, Lord. And Lord, just bless this offering to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've been held by the Savior. I feel fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. Stranger to the prison, I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven.
Yes, I have.
And I'm not going back. I'll never be the same.
That's why I sing.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood.
There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man, breaks him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Jesus, thank God my yesterday's gone.
have this hope as an anchor for my soul. Through every storm, I will hold to you. With endless love, all my fear is swept away. In everything, I will trust in hope in the promise of the cross. You gave everything to save the world you love. And this hope is an anchor for my soul. Our God will stand unchanging one, you who was and is to come, your promise sure, you will not let go. There is save the world you love, and this hope is an anchor for my soul. Our God will stand unshakable. There is hope in the promise of the cross. You gave everything to save the world you love, and this hope is an anchor for my soul. Our God will stand unshaken. All my hope is in you. Your name is higher, your name is greater. All my hope is in you. Your word unfailing, your promise unshaken. All my
silent. Let's just have a word of prayer real quick. God, as the praise team is stepping down, we just want to worship you and thank you that we have this hope in you that's unshakable. You've given so many promises in the scripture that are true, that will never be broken, some yet to come. And God, we just know that the foundation that we put our faith in, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, Jesus, that is our hope. And so we just long for you to come, show us your presence this morning, let us know of your power, work your work as your word is spoken. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, good morning. All right, so my name is Matthew Walters. I've attended this church just since recently. I just started joining at the start of the year, and so they asked me to do all this stuff. I'm like, sure, why not? So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of my background to this. I was raised in a Christian home and always attended church every single Sunday. I never missed one unless I was dying and needed to go to the hospital. I attended Sunday school and children's church every Sunday, and on Wednesdays our church would do this kind of a thing. We would study a book of the Bible and we would quiz over it over the entire year, and we would memorize 20 verses or so every single year. And that was where I started to first fall apart, because I tried to make that time about me and, hey guys, I can tell you Psalms 23 in a breath and a half, and I can throw this at you and this at you and all memorized, but it never meant anything. And I tried to set myself up for this amazing, like, I just wanted to make myself huge and set myself on a pedestal over my friends. And that didn't work out very well. And while I was going through middle school, I was struggling a lot. I was a Boy Scout at that time, and they went through this thing where they started allowing gay people into the Boy Scout organization, and it killed my happiness because I was all of a sudden losing all my friends that I had because of something I had no control over. They were all wanting to leave, and I was upset. And on top of that, at school, I was starting to be made fun of. People would call me stupid, called me gay. Wow, you're really stupid, retarded. I was almost in tears half the time. People were just tearing me apart. And then, so when God started speaking to me, I was sitting in the corner at my lunch all by myself, had maybe one friend, but we weren't very close. I just hung out with him just so I wouldn't get made fun of even more. And so I just have somebody there next to me. And then that's when God just started playing these verses back into my head. And it just like brought a light back into my heart for God. And two of those verses I got today. One of those is Matthew 5, verse 3. Says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I looked that up in the Message version, and I really enjoyed this part. It said, "You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule." Amen. And then my second verse is Psalms 23, verse 4. And it said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me." I was able to use those verses to comfort me and just reach out to other people after I had gotten back into my youth group and was starting to develop more in my Christian faith. And I just hope that one day I can use that to just be more of a light for people. And that kind of leads into my sermon today. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has shown us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." And I was sitting there thinking of how I'm going to come up with it. I'm like, man, this is deep stuff to come up with a sermon. And I was like, well, what is my living hope? And so I just sat there and was thinking. I came up with this. It is a daily walk seeking God's presence, searching for the end goal, heaven. And so I was like, well, what is the world's hope? Everybody says, oh yeah, I got hope in this. I hope this team does well. But really, the world's hope is empty. It's false. It's lying. It'll tell you things that you want to hear, but it's not really what you need to hear. And the last part of that verse is, and this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I remember soccer season. You were working hard at the start of June. It's like, why? It's summer. It's like you want to hang out with your friends and run around. But no, you had to persevere and push through the hard stuff just to get ready for your first game in August. You had like 3 months before you had your even official biggest opponent in the season. But then you were setting yourself up for your peak performance in October. You're like 5 months into this thing, and you're like, well, here we are. We're at the biggest part. It's like, well, you can't just sit there and just look at all that little stuff. You got to look at the big result at the end. And without hope, there is no future. Without hope, there's no desire for God or His presence. And our hope for us enhances our faith through our relationship with God. Death is not the end of our hope, but in heaven. If you have a choppy relationship with God, it's not true hope. If you're only going to church on Sunday, but you're going to hang out with your friends throughout the week, and yeah, I'll go have fun on Friday night. I'll straighten out a little bit on Saturday. And then, okay, now I'm back at church. I got to pray and everything. I'm trying to set myself up. No, you're not setting yourself up for God. You're setting yourself up for yourself. And God gave us hope through the death of Jesus, because if He wasn't there and He didn't die, that's the end. But no, He rose from the dead and He's in heaven now. And so it sets us up for another success, because He didn't stop there. He just kept going. He persevered through the tough time when everybody's making fun of Him, when everyone hated Him, even His best friend gave up on Him, betrayed Him. But no, He persevered. And He did what He didn't want to do, but He had to do. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we would have no reference point to His power. Because it doesn't stop here. It goes all the way up. And so I just like to wrap up with saying that even though you're in the tough times, there's still a hope, and it lives inside of us. And with that, you can use that to show other people. Thank you.
Wow, Matthew did really well. Let's give him another round of applause there. I am Kerrigan Townsend. I have been coming to church here for probably a little bit over a year now. I was involved in a church previous to this where I was saved. I had committed myself to Christ and decided that I was just going to lift my hands to Him. I was going to give everything to Him. But I decided that although I wanted to give everything to Him, I wanted to just take a little bit and just keep a little bit of stuff to myself. I decided that I was going to give God all of my things. I gave God everything that I had heard that I should give Him, all of the things that brought me pleasure. But for some reason, I had a hard time letting go of anxiety and depression. I wanted to just hold those things to myself, which kind of makes no sense because it was just bringing me pain ultimately. I lifted my hands and said, Lord, You're my God, but I'm going to put this a little bit above You. I'm going to put You here, and I'm going to put my anxiety and depression right here, just a little bit. So, Lord, You're still Lord, but so is this. I held it to myself. I held it in my heart, and I let it overtake me. I realized that it was wrong, And instead of putting my hope in Christ and saying, never mind, this is nothing, God, you're above all, I said, I'm going to let my friends help me. I'm going to put my hope in my friends. I'm going to put my hope in my family. I'm going to put my hope in encouraging social media pages. I'm going to put my hope in medication, in doctor appointments, in my family, and in my friends. I decided to give it up, but I wasn't giving it to God at all. It was wrong. It was wrong. I was hoping that the world would help me. I wasn't hoping for Jesus. I never quite understood why God wasn't just taking it away. I wanted him to take it away, but I wasn't giving it to him. I wanted him to lift it off of my shoulders. The physical weight I could feel on my shoulders, I just wanted God to lift it, but I was holding on to it. I was holding on to it. I had to learn that God allows us to struggle. He doesn't want us to struggle, but he allows us to struggle. Through these struggles, my faith has grown, my hope has grown, my trust has grown. He does this for every single one of us. We have trials. All of us have trials. All of us have things that we put up and then take for ourselves. He does this. He allows us to feel these things so that we can grow, so that we can ultimately grow in our faith and grow closer to him. God's faithful. He's faithful. He loves us. He loves us so much. He was beaten. He was tortured so badly that he did not even look like a human for us, for our sins, for our struggles. He did these things for us. We take these things that we love, that we think we love above all things, our families, my siblings, and God, we think that we love them that much, so much. Our hearts can't even hold the love that we have for them. And God loves each and every one of us so much more. So much more. God gave us an eternity in heaven. He gave us an eternity to place our hope in so that we no longer have to place our hope in our friends and our family and social media. He gave us a hope. He gave us a hope through him. He gave us an hope of an eternity through his son dying. We have to persevere through our trials so that we can continue to grow through in Christ. James 1:12 says, God bless those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of love that God has promised to love those who love him. Love God. Give your trials to him. Give your temptations to him. Place your hope in him.
Good morning. A few weeks ago when Ethan was needing someone to speak on Cruise Sunday, I kind of just automatically was like, yeah, I think I want to do that. And I wanted to speak on something that was really near and dear to me and that I've struggled with in the past, and that's worry. Now, there's a question I want you to keep in mind today while I talk, and that's why worry when God is on your side? If you'll go ahead and be turning to our main passage for today in Matthew 6, and have that ready. Now, I'm sure everyone in here is currently worried about something, whether it be finances, a sick relative, how you look, or here's a big one, a past sin. I've been there. Or maybe something as simple as a sports team. Are there any IU fans in here today? Show you, raise a hand. Yeah, you guys worry quite a bit. yeah, by the way, boiler up today. Yeah. But no matter what it is, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So as we can see, we can just put all our anxiety on him and forget about it. So I'll go ahead and start in verse 25 in Matthew 6 here. And it reads, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So, why is worrying so bad? Well, since the Bible itself actually tells us do not worry, that makes it a sin. And I want to challenge you to think, are we treating worry like a sin or just another bad habit? I know I certainly have to think about that a lot. And you're probably sitting there saying, well, what should I do about that? Well, we should repent just as we would with any other sin. As Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out." Then moving on, if we look back to verse 27, that's where it basically says, you know, we can't add a cubit to our stature or any time to our life, depending on what version you're reading. Obviously, we know that we can't do any of that, so why does Jesus feel the need to point that out there? It reminds us that when we worry, we're really trying to control our own circumstances, and in the end, we have no control over that. That's all God's job. As Isaiah 41:10 reads, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So throughout this whole passage, Jesus is reminding his disciples that God takes care of his creation, you know, the birds of the air, the plants, etc. So how does that help us not worry? It reminds us that we are God's creation and that he has control over everything. It reminds us of his complete sovereignty and he knows what's best. So I want you to raise your hands. How many of you have ever used Amazon, at least been on that website? A majority of you. Okay, Jeff Bezos, the owner, founder of Amazon, is worth $124 billion. That's really more than I can imagine. He's got distribution centers all over the world, trucks, employees, just tons of stuff. But guess what? In the end, he has nothing because it all belongs to our Creator. God owns everything. Think about that for a second. There's no need to worry because my life, your life, and anyone else in the world belong to him. And I think more times than not, we forget that. Another thing Jesus does many times in this passage is he refers to God as Father. This is a reminder to us that God is our heavenly Father and takes care of us just as an earthly father would take care of his children. What else can we do about anxiety and worry? I want to share with you a verse that I've read multiple times in trial. And Philippians 4:8 reads, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And like the very popular 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us many ways to deal with worry, like keeping in mind that it's all God's plan. And also, Psalms 108:13 shows us that through God we will do valiantly, and for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. So not only will we just survive, but we will thrive with God on our side. So as I come to a close, think of that question. Why worry when God is on your side? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for all the great things Crew does and the people they reach. I pray that through all the speaking and songs and the skit we're about to see, I pray that they would, if anyone doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you. And I thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Okay. So originally, Ethan asked me a couple weeks ago if I'd get up here and introduce something. First instinct, say no. It's Ethan Harkerode. Don't trust him. Not a good thing. And you see where I am because it's Ethan. Here I am. No, I'm here because of God, and this is where he wants me. I'm up here this morning to introduce to you a new skit that the crew members will be putting on. A little bit of backstory as to how we got started doing skits. 2 years ago, we performed the Everything skit here on Crew Sunday. I'm sure some of you still remember that. And then this past July, we went to New York, and we performed that same skit a couple times in Central Park in New York. Personally, it was a really strong, I had a really strong connection with it, and I was really thankful for that opportunity. And so when Ethan asked for a skit for Crew Sunday, I was fortunate enough to find one, and I was able to help direct it. But in the end, this isn't my work. We're just showing God's work. We're showing who he is and what he's capable of doing. This skit is called Set Me Free, and it shows God's love and how you can have a constant hope in him. He will remove your chains, he will remove you from your sins and your demons. So, without further ado, here is the skit, Set Me Free. Oh wait, hold on, I have a verse. Sorry. No, you're fine. Sorry, I forgot. It's my personal fault. I'm sorry. I brought my Bible up here for a reason. I probably should use it. Okay, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay, now I'm done.
I remember brighter days before the dark ones came, stole my mind, wrapped my soul in chains. Now I live among the dead, fighting voices in my head, hoping someone hears me crying in the night. Carries me away, set me free. Crying in the rain, all alone with my demons, I am. Who is this man that comes my way? The dark ones shriek, they scream his name. Is this the one they say will set the captive free? Set me free. The chains holding me.
Good morning. If you haven't caught on, today's about hope and the living hope and the hope we have in God. And what a skit that was. The guy that had... The man that was wrapped in chains, how much hope did he have from Jesus coming down and saving him? Today I'm going to talk about our hope in God's word and what that is and how we can get it. So I'm going to start off by reading Hebrews 6:16-19. Now when people take on an oath, they call upon someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. So what is hope in God and his word? I took two different definitions off of Google and put them together, made them kind of fit to God's, the definition of hope in God. And I came out with hope in God and his word is trust in God accompanied by the expectation and anticipation that something good will happen from God in whom we put our trust. So two questions to ask ourselves about our hope in God's word would be, number one, do I trust God? And we need to trust God in order for this to happen. And an easy way to remember is just God has our best interest in mind. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Question number two would be, do I believe that something good will happen from God? And this is an easy one because it's already happened. He sent his son down from heaven to die for us and give us eternal life if we are willing to take it. But back to how we can have hope in God is in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, to give you a future and a hope. God is going to give us a hope. There are two parts to this hope. First, it's God gives us a hope in him by giving us the Bible. He puts everything we need to know in there. But in order to get the hope that he offers, you need to believe that his word is true, and with that comes trust in him. Second, he gives us hope in his word. To have hope in his word, all we have to do is believe it. And when we believe in God's word, we believe that the promises he has made are true, that the prophecies he said will come true. We cannot obtain hope from ourselves. We can't make up a hope in our minds and just believe it because it'd be a false hope. And what's the point of a false hope? So it says God is going to give us this hope. If we believe in God, he gives us our hope. Hope that everything that he said is going to happen will happen the way he said it will happen. And that's all we need, is that hope. This hope is free to take with our belief in God. It's just out there. He gives it to us, and it's free. All we have to do is be willing to receive it. An escape from an eternity in hell, and all we have to do is believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and that he came down and rescued us. That's all, and just live them out. Live out his words. That's all we have to do. To have eternal life, all we have to do is just believe something is true and act upon that. And that's insanely crazy. So that is the biggest hope that we could ever have in our lives, is just the hope that God gives us. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So this word of God, our hope, it's our shield, it's our weapon against the devil and all those evil powers. However, it is important to realize what part of the Bible we put our hope in. Notice why in Hebrews 4:12 it says the word of God. And I also say the word of God instead of using the Bible, because it's referring to the actual words in the Bible, not the book itself. We need to put our hope in the words God said, not the book they are written in. Today, people just use the book as a sign of how good they are. They say, oh, I've read my Bible today, so I'm a good person. But they don't take into consideration what the words actually say. They use the book itself and not the words in the book. I lost my spot, sorry. We need to hope for the words that are written in the Bible when we read it. And hope, it's a longing, it's a believing that what is said is going to happen will happen. Okay, I'll just go to Romans 15:4b. It says, "All the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled." So right there it says it. The scriptures give us hope. We cannot give this hope to ourselves. This hope is given to us from God and from the word of God. That is believing. Believing that this is true. That is hope. Our hope in God's word from only God and the words that he has spoken. Thank you.
Hey, it's been an exciting morning. We as a crew, we spend a lot of time, you know, prepping for this. It's a scary thing, and our theme today was the hope and the worry. And this morning, as we were all together, we were all just praying, and a lot of the teens prayed as well, and they were praying for that worry to go away, you know, that we could trust and relax and enjoy. But some of the prayers that they had this morning that we were hearing the teens pray and all that is that it would be an impact to everyone here. That's what we want. This isn't some show. This isn't a talent show just where we come and we sing and we do skits and stuff. We want to bless you guys, and we want to be an impact even on you guys as you guys should be on us. And that's kind of the way the body of Christ works is we're just supposed to work together and strive together and encourage one another. Hey, I thought it'd be appropriate just because my dad, also head pastor Andy Harkleroad, it'd be good for him to come up and just kind of recap and all that. But we want to invite you guys back. There's a lot of families here from teens, and I don't even know all the families that are here, and I'd love to meet you guys. But we want to invite you back and just to come and spend another Sunday with us and just enjoy this time of fellowship.
Really proud of you guys. They usually sit up in the balcony, so as full as that is, this usually is, but welcome. A lot of folks say this is the future church. Please know this is the church. And it's incredible. I see the gifts of God. I see the gifts of the Spirit in them at the teenage years. And it's incredible to watch them unfold scripture, and we just kind of leaned over and asked Ethan, did you guys give them all this what to say? And no, they just worked through this. And I'm just excited about, I can only imagine how I would have done standing up here at your age trying to preach. I'd like, would have jumped in the baptistry. Does that mean that's what I should do next Sunday? Work with me. I'm just really proud of you guys. The skit was powerful. And a lot of times we as adults, those who are past our teen years, think, yeah, that's the pull on our teenagers' lives. It was just a great picture of worry and alcohol and sins and lust and all kinds of shirts that you're wearing that tell of all the things that are drawing on us, trying to chain us up. But I want you to know, young people and old people, that never goes away. Because the same draw that's on your life now will be a draw on your life when you're gray-headed. So it never lets up. Your skit wasn't just for your age. It's for all ages. And I'm really proud of you for that. And thank you for each one of you being partakers. I just want to pray with you and thank God for you and ask God in your behalf. Can we do that? Father, I thank you for the crew. I thank you for their involvement. I thank you for their maturity. And Lord, I'm convinced because of their maturity in Christ already that they will constantly be under strong attack from the evil one. And I ask you, Lord, I beg you to please protect them from the attacks of the evil one. I ask you, Lord, that they will move forward not only defensively, but offensively. That they will share Christ. They will share the difference that Christ makes. And I pray that the example that we saw today would be infectious for the rest of us who were facing the stage this morning, that we would have the boldness to share Christ. We would have the commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So I thank you for them. I pray that you'd add your blessing to them. This crew is such a blessing to our church, and this crew has changed the personality of our church for the better. And I want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.